He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is Monday, the Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I would say the market's off to a cautious start, but it's all green so far since we started here. I've got the Dow up 99 points right now, which is a quarter of a percent. That puts the Dow at 38,338. I guess the good news is that correction we were in, about 5%, has at least halted for now. Now the question is it going to hold here? I guess you could say it's hanging in there. Or is it going to break down and add another 5% to the correction? Well, we shall see. This should be an interesting week, to say the least. S&P up a quarter of a percent to 5,114. The NASDAQ is up a quarter of a percent, up 44, with a big gain from Tesla. You know, Elon has a way to move that stock. It is up 9.7% today after a big move on Friday. The small cap market up a half a percent. That's the Russell 2000. Crude oil down 27 cents to $83.58. In addition to that, we've got gold down $2.70 to $23.44. That big run-up in gold seemingly has halted for now. The 10-year coming back a little bit, down 3 basis points to 4.64. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And you know, last week was a busy week in the market, and this should be another busy week in the market. It should be a lot of fun. Barry, if I'm not mistaken, this is another Fed meeting this week. I thought we had one. How often do they meet?
I think it's 10 times a year, and the calendar gets a little wonky here at some point around the summertime. I think they might skip July.
They're meeting again.
I got this calendar over here, kind of one click away. But the but of course, yeah, they meet on Tuesday. We get a rate decision, you know. And I know you know the.
Here we go again.
I know you'll hit the earnings calendar, but yeah,
yes.
we get the news conference on Wednesday, and then the other non-earnings data point that'll be important will be the jobs numbers at the end of the week. I think we get the we get the payroll numbers, if I'm not non-farm payroll numbers.
So it doesn't sound like there's any fishing days this week. maybe after the market. I caught my
Friday at 4.
Hey, I made my first cast on Friday right after the show, actually. I caught some live bait in my trap, some crystal minnows and some mud minnows. First cast of the season with a yellow bobber, a live bait underneath it right next to my house. I caught a 13.5-inch trout. Sea trout, beautiful, beautiful, nice shape. Looks like he's fat. He's a half inch too small to keep, but the fishing season has officially started here in Charleston. We had a big week in the market last week. We had some big earnings. We had some bad earnings. I would say Meta on the downside. That was one of the biggest one-day losses ever from a market cap point of view. Was down 10%, and then we had a big market cap gain when Google passed the $2 trillion mark on Thursday after they reported. Actually, the stock went up on Friday.
Didn't they pass the market cap? Didn't they pass? I know they were close to passing Nvidia again. It's a little neck and neck.
You know, it's kind of neck and neck.
Yeah.
And speaking of Nvidia, I didn't see it. But from what I understand, they were on 60 Minutes, Jensen Huang.
Yeah, supposed to be featured. Yeah, I saw that they were going to be featured. I didn't see it either. But
I missed it. I'm going to probably watch some kind of a replay of that. I think that's probably pretty interesting. Interest rates remain stubbornly high. The market is trying to build the bottom. Okay, it went through a pretty swift 5% correction. And now it is trying to hold the line And, you know, I think it's up in the air whether it's going to hold the line or not. It comes down to a technical analysis. You've had 4 or 5 days of bottoming type activity in the market, and that's not enough. Okay, you need more than that to build the bottom. And I see that's what most technicians seem to be commenting on here today, and I'm in total agreement with that. We had the best week since October of 2023, which wasn't that long ago, last week. And, of course, this week the focus will be on the Fed and what their plans are. I don't think they're going to do anything this week, but, you know, they'll probably give some kind of pathway going forward. And we also had that inflation report last week, PCE, which is the Fed's favorite gauge because it takes out the volatile pieces of the index, the food and the energy. And at the end of the day, the information technology sector was up 5.1%. I think a lot of that was short covering. There is a lot of short interest in the market right now. Consumer discretionary had a good week. Abercrombie & Fitch, Post Alley. No, not Post Alley. What's the other one? American Eagle. It was up, that consumer discretionary was up 3.5%. And then the materials, which have kind of been leading the market, they took the week off. Google, obviously, a big winner last week. Meta, a big loser last week in the market. Okay, well, we'll begin with geopolitics here this morning after a recap of what happened last week. The world's kind of sitting on a precipice here there in the Middle East with, I think, probably the last negotiations between Israel and Hamas. I think they're at trying to get back 20 hostages now for a three-week.
It was like a 40-day ceasefire.
Yeah, and, you know, I just don't think it's going to happen, and I think eventually Israel's going to have to go in and finish the job against Hamas. And, of course, you've got protests going on. Reminds me of the Vietnam War in the 60s. I remember 1968. I was just a little fella, but I've always followed geopolitics. And the Democratic National Convention was in Chicago that year. And Graham Nash wrote a song called Chicago. Won't you please come to Chicago? And of course, 20,000 protesters showed up. Humphrey at that time, Horatio Humphrey, was for the Vietnam War. And he eventually had to kind of back off of that because of the protests. And I think after the convention, he was down by 22 points to Nixon. Tin soldiers and Nixon coming. What a great time to live through. Today's events remind me of that point in time in our history.
Yeah, and, well, then a couple of years later, well, you had, you know, in 70, you had Kent State. So.
Yes, and, you know, I met a lady. I was out working on my lawn, and this lady was walking down the street. I talked to her. She was walking her dog. I said, where are you from? She says, Kent, Ohio. I said, oh, that was the good old Kent State four dead in Ohio. And all she right. says, yeah, I was in elementary school, which I guess I was, too, when that happened. But, you know, when those protesters hit Chicago, Mayor Daley cracked down hard, and that's where you got a lot of that police brutality. I mean, they had no tolerance back then. I think this year, guess where the Democratic Convention is this year, Barry?
Where is that?
Chicago.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, the first time, I think, since 1968. And I think this time, I think the protesters will show up. I don't know that the mayor has the will to crack down on them like Mayor Daley did. So we're headed for some interesting times. And, of course, they're kind of down to a showdown in Israel. And if there is no deal, then they're going to go into Rafah. And that's going to continue that conflict. So anyways, we've got that to worry about. Germany's inflation rate unchanged at 2.2%. How come they're getting theirs down into the low twos and we're still in the low threes?
Yeah, and it's a little, I mean, and then, of course, you know, it's a little stubborn. I think even Spain, I think, came in at a three-month high. in Spain for inflation. So it's, you know, you just kind of see that stubbornly, right, persistent inflation where, as they've talked about, the kind of like the, you know, the last mile, right, is going to be the kind of longest grind. So
yes. Well, and then another important point here is the macro outlook of the market. In the second quarter of the show, we're definitely going to review how earnings season has gone so far. And then we're going to lay out who will be reporting this week. I know Apple and AMD are a couple that are on tap for this week to report. And then I think we'll take a look at the technical picture. It is holding right now. From a further 5% drop would make for a 10% correction. Right now we're holding at a 5% correction, but the technical is very important right now. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, let's take a little look here at where we are at in earnings season. I know, I think as of Friday, we were 46% in the books. That's the S&P 500 companies. And with those 46% of companies reporting, 77% have beat their earnings estimates. That's usually about where it comes in, about three-quarters of the companies. They like to beat estimates, okay? So they've got a really, really sandbag during the quarter to keep those expectations tempered so that they can come in and beat the estimates. 60% have beat their sales estimate. And it was a good week, okay? The first few weeks were basically flat. And now, with 46% in, we're looking for a 3.5% increase in earnings from the same quarter last year. Last week, we were at 0.5. So we had a good jump in there. It was a few stocks that did it. But 3.5% is what the expectation. We started the quarter at 3.2% in expectations. We're now looking for $54.25 for this quarter. Obviously, if you annualize that, that comes in at $217. And by the end of the year, we're looking for about $240 in earnings. We are now reporting the first quarter of this year. That's what's coming in. That's what is coming in now, 46% in. Revenue growth, 3.5%. 3.5% is what the expectation is. The forward P.E. ratio lands right on 20. So for those that have been calling for a forward P.E. of 20, we're there. Okay, but that also means we're pretty much fully valued here at the market. That doesn't leave much room for upside.
Right. I mean, you kind of that 18 number has really been, at least since 08, 09, it's really been the average. And you go way back, you know, historically, right?
Yeah, it's lower.
Averages of around 15-ish, 15 and a half. So we're,
yep.
You could say that we're certainly fully valued from a at the market level from an earnings standpoint.
Yes,
if not a tad bit over. Right.
Yes, but if price. We can grow at the rate that the analysts are expecting, we're expecting for the year 10.8% earnings growth for 2024, and next year. I mean, look, this is just what the estimates are: 13.9. So if we can do that, I mean, we could definitely get back up into the high 5,000 area, and you got to maintain a multiple. I think the correct multiple is more in the 19 range myself. 175 companies will report this week from the S&P 500. So
wow.
Fasten your seatbelts and You know, those rides at Magic Mountain, not only did they have seat belts, but like around your chest and your head and your neck and your feet, everything, so you don't fall out. I think we could have some pretty good volatility this week, unless all these companies just kind of report blah inline earnings, which doesn't happen very often. Now, who can we look forward to that will be reporting earnings this week? Okay, we've got on tap Monday. SoFi, they've already reported. They're known for the stadium in Los Angeles where the Rams play.
Yep.
Tomorrow is pretty big. Amazon. Okay. Amazon is Dow and S&P 500.
And that's makes up a big portion of
a huge portion. Yeah. So that will be one that will be highly watched. Is Amazon. Okay. Let's see. Who else is reporting this week? I just lost my place there. There we go. Amazon reporting tomorrow. Also reporting tomorrow on Tuesday, AMD. Now, that's going to be very highly watched. It is the bellwether for the, outside of NVIDIA.
NVIDIA Junior.
Chips.
Yeah. Yeah.
PayPal will report. Coca-Cola, Starbucks, 3M, McDonald's, Lilly. How much of the weight loss drug have they sold? Archer Daniels Midland, Clorox. Then on Wednesday, it will be Pfizer, which has been a real stinker of a company lately. Qualcomm on Wednesday, MasterCard, Etsy, eBay, Devon Energy, Yum Brands, Marriott. On Thursday, it will be Apple. And they've had some really bad reports, just very flat reports here. Their iPhone 15 has not been a very big hit at all. I wouldn't expect a very good report from Apple, but then again, you never know. I mean, who would have expected what Google reported on Friday? Also on Thursday, Booking Holdings, ConocoPhillips, Expedia, so that's a pretty big day. And then on Friday, it's kind of some oil stock. So, okay, that's what we have to look forward to this week. Now, the technicals of the market, okay? We're bouncing right now. We were in a terrible downtrend when we ended the market a week ago Friday. Not this past Friday, but the one before that. That's the day when NVIDIA was down 10%, and it looked like there was no bottom to the market on that day. Well, we caught hold. We were hanging in there. I don't really like the chart on the S&P 500 myself. I think it's a weak chart. We've had 4 or 5 days of bounce, but it takes longer than that to build in a bottom. And the other thing I don't like about the S&P 500, it's one thing when you break below that 50-day moving average, I think that kind of moves the needle from a good chart to a weak chart breaking below the 50-day, because that's really kind of a momentum indicator whether or not you're above the 50-day moving average or below. The S&P is below the 50-day right now. And the problem with that is that 50-day now becomes the resistance level, and that's going to be a real test. We're kind of testing it today. We're hitting our head on the 50-day moving average, which is now resistance. So that's the current technicals of the S&P. The Dow, on the other hand, is well below its 50-day moving average. It's in a sideways trend, and it's trying to hold 38,000. And it's been doing that for about 6 or 7 trading days, okay? But it's a weak chart, too. Okay, the NASDAQ, which has been obviously the strongest of all, it is bumping its head, too, on the 50-day moving average today. And that's going to be a real test for it. It's going to take an Amazon. It's going to take an AMD. It's going to take an Apple to propel that thing through its 50-day moving average. And if those companies can't deliver, it's going to remain in a fairly weak condition here, the NASDAQ. But it's holding support at about 15,500. Right now we're at just 400 points, 500 points above that. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot of individual stocks. What is up with Elon and Tesla today? We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the CEO that probably has more ability to move his stock than any other CEO out there is Elon Musk, okay? It's been in a long, long downtrend. It's the biggest loser in the S&P 500 so far, and it continued to hit new lows. And, boy, you know, he likes to go to battle with the short sellers, Barry. He's not a friend of the short sellers, and he'll go after them. And he did in a big way last week.
Right.
And he continues to surprise this week. You know, one of the big growth areas for Tesla is the software, the full self-driving right. software package. Which is a subscription, okay? And China has not allowed. He has to store all the data on the roads and everything on servers in China. But it sounds like he struck a deal with Baidu. I'll bet Baidu's up, too. Let me just look at Baidu today. Baidu is kind of the Chinese Google version. Yeah, Baidu's up 4.3%. But Tesla is up 10.4% today.
And they've been working with Baidu, you know, already. It's, you know, the benefit is they got the kind of the go-ahead for autonomous vehicles. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in terms of, you know, kind of, I guess, China being a bit of a test kitchen potentially, right, for self-driving vehicles. So,
yes, and that's a big growth potential area. So they finally reached a mapping deal with Baidu, which is a Chinese company, and that may bring the full self-driving from Tesla to China very soon. So anyways, that is shaking out a lot of short sellers today. They're fleeing. They're running for the hills. The stock has pulled back a little, but it's up 10.7% after that big move. This thing was hitting a new 52-week low just 4 days ago.
Well, and he's, I mean, you know, from a CEO standpoint, you know, he's always been a
promoter,
advocate, a good advocate and promoter, right, for his company. I mean, he's the modern
P.T. Barnum.
He's
P.T. Barnum showman of our day is
exactly.
Elon Musk and talking up his wares.
He really is.
He opens up his trench coat and all. He's got self-driving software in there and all kinds of different goodies to deploy. And he also has that ace up his sleeve, which is kind of the cheap Tesla, which he says is coming in 2025. You know, like that's going to be in the range of 30,000, 25,000 Tesla for the common man. So anyways, at the same time, he's up against the Chinese EV makers who want to sell into our markets. So they also have an ace up their sleeve, too. Okay, there is a biotech Deciphera stock soars after a Japanese company buys them out for $2.4 billion. Deciphera is up 72%. I did not see that coming. They do drug candidates to improve the lives of cancer patients. So there's a deal there. Okay, now, I think Apple, they need to do something like Musk has done, right? They need to talk up something. And there's no hotter subject in today's world than artificial intelligence, which Musk also pulled that card out on rabbit out of his hat last Friday, saying that we're really an artificial intelligence company here at Tesla.
Well, he wants to be priced right, like a he wants the multiple of a software company, so much higher than say an individual auto company would be.
He doesn't want a Ford multiple or a GM multiple. He wants a Jensen Huang NVIDIA multiple.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Even though he's selling hardware mostly in a car. I think Apple's going to have, and they're talking up here, Apple is talking up AI. They're talking with OpenAI, which is Sam Altman, which developed ChatGPT to add generative AI to the next iPhone, which that was my prediction. What they got to do something big because the 15 hasn't really been that big of a hit at all. So I would expect that their decision to mark a renewed attempt to add open AI features to their iOS 18. Is that where we're at? Are we on the 18 now?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And I saw a commercial actually over the weekend. I think it was during maybe the NFL draft, which, of course, I think 750,000 people showed up in Detroit for the draft, NFL draft this weekend over those 3 days, which is pretty amazing. So they're probably getting some rest today. But the I actually saw it said, I think it was a Galaxy phone, Samsung Galaxy commercial, and it said, basically like the first AI phone, whatever that means. I don't really know what that means, but I did see it on a commercial today, so it was pretty interesting.
Yes. Okay, well, and Apple is being upgraded at Bernstein ahead of earnings. We'll see. I don't expect much coming out of their earnings. Now, here's the deal with this hands-free driving. Ford faces preliminary probe from the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration over hands-free driving technology, okay? It's a big major step. There's a lot of liability there. There's a lot of lawsuit. There's a lot of gaps in our road system here in the U.S., They're doing a construction zone. Well, yeah, you should put your hands on the wheel during, but there's places where the lines in the road are weak. There's times at nighttime when it's hard to read the lines and everything. It's really kind of, do we really need self-driving and hands-free? They're pushing forward. So he's trying to get it in China. If we have gaps in our road, I would imagine China's got some gaps over there. In their road system. So anyways, that'll be interesting. Ford and remember, the robo-taxis have also had some big issues with self-driving. Well, the big news this Saturday is it'll be the first Saturday in Mayberry. And I saw, the houses around here, they put flags in front of
You got your picks ready, don't you?
Well, I haven't really... I haven't followed as much as I usually do, but my buddy that I grew up with, every year he sends me four Derby glasses. So I have a nice collection of Derby glasses. There's a lot of horses on those Derby glasses now, and they're really getting smaller and smaller, the print. But Churchill Downs will have a little party in Louisville. You talk about 750,000 people showing up. Where in Detroit? Was that where the draft was?
Yeah, that's where the draft was this weekend. Yeah. Well, I would say weekend. It was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So
the Derby gets about 150,000 or so, I would say. And it's usually raining, pouring down rain. It was raining the one year I went with my father. Ultra downgraded at Barclays as beauty landscape gets ugly. Well, there's a play on words from Barclays. But, I have noticed that Ulta has really...
Barclays showing some personality. Huh?
The beauty industry gets ugly, okay? Yeah. The fertilizer industry gets sweet. I don't know. Over the last 12 months now, Ulta's down 25%. It was one of the last survivors of the bricks and mortar. Now we're down to, like, Lululemon. That's about the only survivor these days. But the shine has really come off of Ulta. And then, of course, SoFi, they beat earnings today, but SoFi's been a rough stock to own. You know, they're a big lender, basically, and a lot of the shorter-term loans at higher interest rates, but the stock has really done nothing. I don't know how they afford to support the naming rights. That's got to be expensive for that big new stadium in Los Angeles, where Hollywood Park Racetrack used to be. I spent a few days at Hollywood Park Racetrack. SoFi added almost 622,000 new members. They reported earnings. The stock's down 8.6%. I think it's a stinker myself. Over the last 3 years, down 21% per year. It has had a good 12 months, but it is just all over the place. And then the last company here to report today, Domino's Pizza. Now, that's the one that Patrick Doyle, you could have made 2,300% while Doyle was the CEO during that turnaround. Over the last 10 years, believe it or not, the Doyle track record is still kind of in that stock. It's averaged 21% per year returns to investors while the market is 17.2. It has delivered. And over the last 12 months, Domino's is up 51% while the S&P is only up 23%. We'll be right back.
I've been in the right place, but must have been the wrong time. I done said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail, but it must have used the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what's good for.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Gunderson Team Tour bus is now back from Sarasota and pointed to Minneapolis next, the home of Bob Dylan, Prince, the Minnesota Twins, the Vikings, the Timberwolves, the Wild, and the headwaters of the mighty Mississippi. But we'll be meeting with the folks, some of the nicest people on earth. We'll be there on Tuesday, May the 20th through Thursday the 23rd. We're planning on meeting with folks at the Radisson Blue, which is attached to the Great Mall of America. I especially like the Crayon store, and the Lego store is not too
Lego
bad either.
Lego store is pretty neat, yeah.
I like that. We have about 30
open. Got some nostalgia to it.
Absolutely. We have about 30 open slots available with Bill and Barry while we are there, and they will fill up quickly. I guarantee it. If you'd like to meet with us in person, give Edie a call at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. And you can also go to our website at GundersonCapital.com. Send us an email to reserve a spot. See you in Minneapolis. Okay, now, as I look at the market here, it's pretty soft, really, okay? I think usually when the Fed is going to have a meeting, the market kind of is on hold, minding its business, not getting too far ahead of itself or too frothy, so that the Fed won't bring the hammer down. That's usually been my experience. So I think probably the market's going to be a little quiet today. Tomorrow, though, you could see some reaction to these big earnings reports.
Because we'll get Amazon tomorrow is what you
yes,
said, right?
Yes, and then the Fed on Wednesday is always a big one. Right now, Apple is leading the Dow. I haven't said that in a long time. It's up 3.2%. I think maybe just the mere fact that all of a sudden AI is being mentioned and that next iPhone is enough to do it. Here's the one that I would love to see bottom. Boeing is up 2.7% today. Is this a Boeing bottom? Okay, you can look at that chart. It's been bottoming for 2 weeks, been going sideways. That's a short period of time, but it could be enough, and Boeing's up 3% today. I was talking to someone yesterday, a Boeing engineer that works there. He worked at Intel prior to Boeing. I said, man, dude, let me know where you're going to work next. I was just kidding. But he says Intel stock has not done so well. I said, no. And Boeing, but I'm sure Boeing will turn things around. And it is up 3% today. Pfizer, which is going to report, is up 1.3. Pfizer hasn't had anything since the controversial vaccine. And then we've got, on the downside, Intel, down 1.8%. Microsoft, after their big earnings report last week, it was on Friday, too, along with Google. It's down a little bit today. It's down 1.8%. In the NASDAQ, the biggest winner is going to be Tesla. That's the second day in a row, or third day in a row for Tesla. You've got Elon really going after the sellers here.
Well, yeah, I saw, like I said, that he's turned his attention more back to Tesla after a few distractions with Twitter and X. And
he was supposed to go to India to look up at a factory there, and he's got major problems. So he's putting all his attention into Tesla right now. Baidu's up 5.6%. That's the company that Tesla's going to team up with. You got to have that data. I mean, you've got to have where every curve and bend in the road is and all the street signs. And, oh, man, it's a big job. Apple's up 3.3 today. On the downside in the NASDAQ, Dollar Tree down 2.6. And Google's giving up a little bit here today. I've got to update my price target on Google now that the new numbers are out. Google is pulling back a little bit. It's down 2.3%. That's a pretty big down move in Google today. Western Digital's down 2%. Meta's down another 1.5%. Meta's still looking for a bottom. I've got to update that target price today. I've got two to update that are very, very critical. Then as we go to the S&P 500, the same ones. It's Dollar Tree on the downside, Google, a little bit of Southwest Airlines. The airline stocks are rough. They're just rough. They're hard to invest in. And on the upside, you've got Albemarle is in the upside today. That's lithium. It's up 6.7%. And Domino's up 3.6. So that's kind of the highlights as we begin a new week in the market, a big week in earnings, a big week for the technicals of the market. Can they hold here? Are they going to bounce through their 50-day moving averages, or is that going to be the ceiling now? It remains to be seen. I continue to have some hedges in place. Until we get more direction here. I'd like to see a cheaper market myself, but we're at 20, or forward PE of 20. Now, if you'd like to, we just announced we've got the Minnesota trip that we're officially now geared up for, focused on that. That's always a fun one. We meet with a lot of good folks in Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's a great little space right there, too.
Man, you can sign up to meet with us in person, Barry and myself, at 855-611-BEST. You can call Edie, and, the good spots go fast, okay? The good appointments. Midnight's not that popular. You probably get that midnight one. We end about 6, 5, I got to eat dinner at some point in time. Okay, and then also, if you'd like to get the newsletter, man, I put a lot of work. I took a deep dive into a lot of individual stocks. It's an eye-opener. You'll learn more in 2 weeks of that newsletter, I think, than watching 2 years of these business channels, financial channels. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com, and sign up there for Minnesota. The good spots will go fast. 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST.
Big earnings week. After this week, we'll have we'll know a lot from the earnings front, and we'll have a Fed meeting and decision, some employment reports. So it'll be an interesting week here coming up.
Yeah, and we'll be about 75% done with earnings season by this Friday. All right, well, we'll be back and do this again tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.